You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, and welcome to The Real Short Box. My name is Jared.
And my name is the good Dr. Kevin.
I'm going to be Donald again.
And today, just so you guys know, we're on location, still in Donald's apartment, but we're on location with a family who's jumping around and playing in his pool and making a goddamn loud fucking mess of it all.
Forgive us if you hear any splashing, screaming children.
Yeah, don't forgive them, though. They don't deserve it.
No forgiveness for children.
Today is another prospecting episode, but today we're going to add in a little more with our prospecting. It's a prospecting slash...
Porn.
Porn. No. Whoa.
Oh, come on now, fellas. Come
porn
on
always
now.
Gets in either way. Okay. It's an eBay auctioning shaming episode as well. We're not going to name people's tags because we don't want, you know, court cases.
No, we don't need that.
And but we are going to tell you about, it's a cautionary tale about when you are going on eBay or, I mean, even when you're getting wall books at comic shops, of the things to kind of look out for and really shop around for prices.
Do not allow yourself to get fleeced.
Yeah.
Fleece.
So, who wants to start out with one?
I'll go first.
Yeah, Kevin, go first.
My first one is Ultimate Fallout number 4, which
what is that?
That is the first appearance of Miles Morales, the second ultimate Spider-Man who took over for Peter Parker in that universe when he was killed off.
Man, that was controversial when that happened.
Yes, because he's a half African-American, half Hispanic young boy.
Well, no, it's just the fact that they killed off Peter Parker and replaced him with somebody else. I mean... I don't care if the guy was an Inuit. I don't care if he was another Caucasian. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to me. The fact that he was replaced is what upset me and, like, millions of fans.
It brought back those Ted Kord memories when he replaced him with Jaime Reyes.
Was it the ultimate version that got killed? Okay. And they built that guy. That was a long-running book, though,
Yes, it was. Probably like 12 years before they did or something like that.
Yeah.
Now it's comic books and I don't know. Did they bring him back?
They brought Miles into the...
I know Miles is in mainstream now.
Yeah,
616. 616, yeah.
Because of that Secret Wars, right? The last Secret Wars was all about the universes converging, right?
So bad.
Right.
I don't know if anybody read that.
Were they like copying like the New 52 or something like that?
It was like Marvel's Crisis on Infinite Earth.
I mean,
Marvel's version of DC's Crisis on Infinite Earths.
So no, they didn't copy DC at all.
No. No, what they did, yeah, exactly. They merged, I think, all the other universes. So that's why you had the Squadron Supreme right after with all the kind of mixed groups and stuff like that.
So Joe Quesada, he did not commit any kind of 30-year theft.
Right.
Okay.
Right, sure.
So I didn't know about the ultimate Peter Parker being killed and replaced.
I thought
he was just a new Spider-Man.
Matter of fact, one of the covers was kind of interesting where you see, like, Peter's going to heaven and Uncle Ben, like, has his hand over his shoulder. Like,
with some rice.
You know, you see...
It's not that Uncle Ben.
Not that Uncle Ben. But you see him kind of walking off into the light, like, you know, being led into the tunnel of that light.
Have some of my rice, Peter. Thank you, Uncle Ben.
And in heaven, he was like, and still, I really do hold you accountable for my death.
Yeah.
Really? And he was like, no!
So wait, I guess by this logic, he hooked up with Aunt Jemima up there?
Whoa. What do you mean? We've talked about this before.
It's Mrs.
Buttersworth. You know, I like Mrs. Buttersworth.
I like her name. what's your name?
I'm Miss Buttersworth.
Yeah, she's always friendly.
How much Buttersworth are you, ma'am? That's what I would like to know.
The syrup tastes pretty good.
12 pats of butter.
So how much are you seeing this book going for?
I'll
say right now, I got that book
a
couple months ago for about $20.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what I'm seeing on here is I'm seeing prices from as low as $89.
As low as $89.
Wow.
To as high as, you ready for this? Here's something to really get you laughing. $1,725 for a 9.8.
Damn. Jesus, Lord and gravy.
For a variant version.
Nope.
Now, that's something that, real quick, I want to say, that is something that's going to come up a lot. Mm-hmm. Once people CGC these books or have a CGC book, the sky's the limit on what they'll ask for.
They lose their mind.
There's no barometer.
Yeah.
Bar anything to set for once it's a CGC.
Take out a mortgage.
If you can get a cheap CGC book, I highly recommend it.
Absolutely.
But that's hard to do.
Exactly.
It's usually better to get a book that what they call is unslabbed, which means it's not CGC graded, and you can take that then and get it graded if you want, or just sell it as is, sit on it. Sometimes it's worth more to just sell
sit
a book
it.
That's not graded.
Or just sit on
it. Like I got a New Mutants, first Deadpool. Was that number 98?
Yes, sir.
And I got it CGC'd. As soon as I did, my heart dropped because it came in at like an 8.0.
Oh.
And it looked to me like a 9.5 or better.
Right.
Right.
And I'm being legit. It looked really nice, and I couldn't understand, and I still to this day can't.
What did their notes say?
It might be off-white pages, I think.
Oh.
So for me, it would be more beneficial for me to pull it out of that damn slab
and try
to sell it back in like a plastic and backing board and try to sell it slab.
That way people could just judge by, just for themselves through the photograph.
Right, exactly. So you got to keep that in mind. Oftentimes people will do, you know, one or the other or even a combination sometimes.
Yeah, CGC fever is not always a good thing. I mean, they're good for certain things. If you want to preserve like a nice Silver Age book that, you know, you don't want to deteriorate, that's fine. Or something that you're extremely confident that it's going to come out 9.6, 9.8. Like it happened for me with my Saga 1. I felt really good. I knew it was going to be at least a 9.8, maybe even a 9.9, and sure enough, it came out that way.
And a quick public service announcement. Don't get on eBay drunk.
Donald hit a bottom.
Yeah.
He's going to have to go. We're talking about it. We're going to do a comic book Alcoholics Anonymous.
Gonna have to do an episode.
Comic-holics.
I bought an Amazing Spider-Man number 300.
First Venom.
For a large sum of money. Because I was just bidding just to have fun and bid. And I know maybe we all do that. And I've certainly done it before. But I've never gotten nipped this hard before with an actual purchase that I did not want. So
I can't tell you how many times. I rarely bid. But I do get my jollies off on the make an offer option that they have now. And I can't tell you how many times, probably a little inebriated at times, or even just feeling ballsy, and I just go, well, I'm going to throw out this number. And it might be a reasonable number, but then at the same time, I'm like, I don't really have that right now, and I shouldn't be doing this, and my wife's going to kill me. And then they're like, and I'm like, please God, reject my, like, I'm like praying to get rejected. You know?
Is your balls about to get cut?
Yeah, and then at the same time, I'm also like, but it would be cool if I get it, because then it's mine.
Yeah.
But yeah, God, eBay, you dark, dark angel.
Now, I'm looking at here, there's one legitimate book for the CGC 9.0 for this Ultimate Fallout 4. It's at $67, 41 bids have got the $67 with 2 days left to go.
Wow, that's still going to go pretty high.
It's going to go, so it'll definitely be triple digits for sure.
Yeah.
So that's reasonable, because what you're doing is you're allowing the free market to decide the price.
Right.
You're not trying to artificially inflate it. Oh, this is worth, like, here's one right here, this fool here, $350. Come on, man. Come on.
Yeah.
You know. So, well,
have they, and I thought I heard something. Did they announce that they're going to use the live-action Miles Morales?
No, not live, but just he's going to be in an animated film next Christmas in 2018.
Right.
An animated film?
Yes.
That's going to be direct-to-video? Because that's all Marvel
No. Sony's going to release it in theaters, I believe, an animated film
with
Miles Morales.
Me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
so around Christmas 2018.
That's going to be interesting.
That's why they kind of give them that kind of push. But, you know, try to introduce them that way, not try to force-feed them.
And I'm not particularly a huge fan, and I know this is kind of being a bit of a hypocrite,
right?
Me being a Ted Kord fan of Blue Beetle,
right?
But I'm still not a huge fan of like using the same name of an older character to re-release a newer character, especially if the older character is still very viable.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm super split on it, but for the most part,
Green Lantern being like in substance of the rule because
there's a core,
and then the original one, Alan Scott, you know, was a different set of
abilities. Even you know, Nova, the Nova Corps. Now, you know, you had the young kid Sam Alexander. Stepped in, and everybody's like, well, where the fuck is Richard Rider?
Right.
You know, well, Richard Rider, he's dead.
But now he's back.
You know, so now you have both. So that's cool.
Yeah.
I get it. But, you know, sometimes they go a little too far with that stuff, I think.
I've only read the Morales character in the Champions book, which I like because he's part of that team. I like his character. He's cool. And he's definitely not Peter Parker. He's his own guy. But, yeah, they should probably make him somebody else. Yeah,
instead of calling him Spider-Man or whatever. Right.
Now, Miss Marvel, you had no problem with. Obviously, it was Carol Danvers originally, and then it transitioned to Kamala Khan. So you feel that's also another separate situation.
Well, but now at least she's going by Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So they've made a few changes.
It's still muddled, though.
It's very interesting how they couldn't figure out a way to bring back Mar-Vell.
I thought he was coming back. Remember we talked about that years ago?
That five-part, I think it was a five-part miniseries from Secret Invasion.
Well, even before that, when in the Thanos Imperative with the Cancerverse, or at least you had like that bad version of him that was coming from the Cancerverse. That was kind of a cool storyline. I'm thinking, oh man, maybe it'll bring back the real Mar-Vell.
Yeah.
But no, not yet.
No. I don't know if he's ever going to come back, to be honest. I mean, it's going to take somebody pretty brave with a really good story in order to do it.
Well, right. Hey, Lanning and Abnett, they can certainly do it.
Well, they don't work together anymore.
They don't?
No.
Really?
Yeah, there was a rift and they do not work together.
Wow. That sucks. That must have been something big, because they've been together for a long time.
That's like Tim Burton and
probably by the time his heirs, they'll be back and I'll look like an idiot, but you know.
That's like Tim Burton, Johnny Depp, and what's the guy used to do the score for the Batman movies? They were together for a little years.
Oh my god.
Could be in a second.
Somebody's yelling at us right now on the other side of this podcast. And
dead man's, it's a dead man's party.
Oingo Boingo.
Yeah. Oingo Boingo.
Oh my god.
Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman.
There we go. I knew I could work it through.
There we go.
Danny fucking Elfman.
What you got done?
I do got a book. It's from the top one of the list here. I just picked it up. It came in yesterday. Incredible Hulk number 234.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first appearance of Quasar.
That's right.
Quasar being a Marvel universe, outer space.
Cosmic
hero.
Originally Marvel Boy.
Yes.
Right. And he wears that uniform similar to Captain Marvel. Or Mar-Vell.
Yes.
And then he got the Quasar, and he had the Quantum Bands, kind of like Green Lantern-esque.
Right. Yep. He can make constructs.
Yeah.
Basically with these bands.
And a member, well, at least a girl version, was a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's definitely primed to be used.
Right. Definitely primed to be used. His cosmic character.
Right.
Very important. Might even show up in the Infinity Gem movies. We don't know.
Or even just the Quantum Bands themselves. I mean, like, something's going to happen with
that. Maybe Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
I wouldn't doubt it.
You know, we should go on that Guardians of the Galaxy ride at Disneyland.
You mean the one that was formerly known as the Hollywood Tower Terror? Yes, Tower of Terror?
Yes, I know. That was my favorite ride, and they destroyed it, and they crushed my hopes and dreams in life. But anyway, we should go on that ride and look for the Quantum Bands.
That's right. Yeah, because people have said, I don't know if it's like in the line for the ride, but people have seen stuff that they thought was related to Atlantis, which is saying that maybe Namor is going to be in the Marvel MCU.
Right.
And even, just as cool, if not cooler, was it Wind Hammer or
Beta Ray Bill's
hammer.
Yeah.
And, or Windbreaker, I don't know. Stormbreaker, which is a badass looking hammer. It's like gold and it's got an axe on one end.
It is badass.
I think we'll see Beta Ray Bill in the next whatever phase or post phase 3,
he could MCU, pop up in Thor Ragnarok.
Right.
He could.
You think so?
I mean, you might see a glance of him. You might see his hammer. You might see something. In Thor Ragnarok, I don't know necessarily in the comic book when they did that. And I think it was Oeming was his name, Michael Avon Oeming or whatever.
Sounds familiar.
He did this story called Thor Ragnarok. And even in Planet Hulk, in the animated version, Beta Ray Bill was in Planet Hulk.
Mm-hmm. He was in that story?
Yeah, he was in the cartoon. The cartoon. In the animated.
Oh, cool.
So it could possibly mean that, you know, Beta Ray is going to make an appearance, or maybe not. But either way, that's another book to hang on to, or to grab. But this Incredible Hulk 234, I think, is a good investment. It's a solid investment.
Is that a BF or F? They're fine.
I would say this one's probably F plus to VF minus.
Okay.
Maybe VF minus to VF.
You know, it's not bad. This book's almost 40 years old, so you can't complain.
Great cover, too.
Yeah, great cover.
Came out the year we were all born.
Battleground, too. Berkeley.
Battleground, just a bunch of hippies in a building getting torn apart by the Hulk.
Yep.
Year of 1979.
Protest that, motherfuckers.
This was picked up for $14.44 on eBay, free shipping. So it's definitely obtainable, but it won't be for long, guys. Grab it while you can.
Before it's too late.
Yep. Jarrett, you got one?
I got one that is both prospecting and shaming at the same time.
Ooh la la.
I gotta hear this.
I believe I've talked about this book maybe in one of our videos or our live ones, but Power Pack. Mm. Power Pack number one. It's the first appearance of Power Pack. Power's family are a group of kids who, through an alien, like a My Little Pony alien named Alfie or Alfire Whitemane, to get these incredible powers.
Mm-hmm.
And they become superheroes. And they lasted, I don't know, in the original series was like in the 80s. I think it went almost 200. It was like 100 and something odd issues. It went for a while. And with Disney buying Marvel, this power pack cannot, you can't go any more clear cut of a surefire win. Not that they would fit into the mainstream MCU with, like, you know, Avengers and all that stuff, but either like a Big Hero 6 animated film or a live action film of like a straight up kind of Disney type film, like a live action film. It's kids with superpowers, and they were very tame. It wasn't like rated R. It wasn't even maybe even rated PG-13. It's a total win-win situation. And everything about it, they get to say, like, costumes on, and their costumes come off, costumes on. It's like a perfect, and they're keeping it from their parents that they're superheroes.
It's pretty cool. Like, if we were kids, we'd do the same thing.
Oh, and I picked it up. Like, I read a couple issues when I was growing up because it tied into, like, X-Men stories.
Yeah, and I saw one that had a Sabretooth on the cover,
right,
like, tearing into him, and I was like, gotta own that.
Because it tied into the Mutant Massacre, which I was big into. So that's how I read them. But then having a daughter, having a kid, I was like, what are some comics that I could read to her when she was younger?
Power Pack.
And I picked up, the Power Pack trades, and they're perfect, and they're great, and she loves them to this day. And my youngest daughter now loves them too.
Really?
Yeah. So I was just like, Disney's gonna fucking hit a home run with this.
Does the wife love it too?
She doesn't. She hasn't read comics in a while.
Disney?
Yeah.
Take note.
Disney, you guys need help. No. Anyway.
So Power Pack. So you believe Power Pack could be a big?
Yes. So I prospected this a while ago, just going, oh, I'm gonna pick that book up just to have it. I got it for like $2 at a bin in a comic shop. So now you go on eBay, and I used to check on eBay. It was in at the most maybe $10.
Mm-hmm.
Now with the prospecting market, like, and I swear to God, in the last week it's gone on overdrive. Like,
gone
everything.
Crazy.
Like, I was just telling Donald and Kevin. Now if it's Marvel, everybody puts like a key book, Disney. Maybe a movie.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that. I was like, that's not even... That's just like, yes, you can say that about the whole goddamn Marvel universe then.
I did that with a miniseries issue of Ghost Rider from 1995 or
right.
Something. I put, possibly going to be the story for a new show coming in time. You know, it's like...
You never know.
Right.
But so Power Pack now, I'm looking at eBay right now. So... Mid-range, it's about $15. I don't know if I would pay that, so I still think you could get it for probably $10, if not in a bin.
Yeah, I would cheaper. Bin it. I wouldn't go to eBay.
Don't
for...
go with bin. But this is where I was cracking up. I sent one of these. Oh, my God. I even just saw a worse one.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
How bad?
So we were talking about the CGC and how ridiculous, like, not that the CGC, they're just... they put,
just a service.
They're just a service. It's what the people do with it once they have it CGC.
Yeah.
There's a 9.8 Power Pack number one. Now, I was just saying, you could either find this in a bin for maybe at the most $5 or on eBay for like $15. But then there's people who are CGCing this shit. This person is selling a 9.8 CGC for $399.95.
And what's the grade
Good
on it?
Good Lord.
9.8. It doesn't matter if it was a fucking 10.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's Las Vegas, Nevada. Albuquerque, New Mexico. The Four Horsemen are going to CGC your ass. No. Power Pack number one, $399.95. I was just cracking up because I was just about to say, oh, there's one for $250, another 9.8. So, man, you can really get a bargain if you get that $250 one instead of this.
I bet it's
almost,
the same guy.
You know
Maybe
what I
just
think
posted
it might be.
The one.
Yeah, this is some serious fleecing going on out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so some books... And books, especially like this, I will always say, first off, go to your comic shop. If you could always go to a comic shop and get your books there, always get them there first. Unfortunately, a lot of comic shops these days, it's very few and far between that have a good back issue section.
Right, very few.
It's either wall books or new books.
Right.
So.
It's kind of like the video stores are still left.
Right, right. So, but they do exist. And when you find them, hold on to them. We have Spiro's Heroes here. We have some great ones. You can just get some good, great
House
back
of Secrets.
Issues. House of Secrets, where there's still back issues and bins available. But this Power Pack, fucking get it in a bin. This is ridiculous. Check dollar bins. I mean, it's probably in there. Like, it's like, this is ridiculous.
Don't get raped, people, please.
Yeah. I honestly, when these people post this shit, I literally wonder if they're just, like, sitting there going, like, it's gonna happen. Some dumbass is gonna buy this. I'm just waiting.
Unfortunately, there is one out there that will. There is usually one sucker. There's usually a sucker.
Give me
out there.
A couple beers.
Hey, first Venom, he's a legit, and there's hype behind it. There's heat. He's
right.
Kind of not
as
R-rated.
As R-rated.
Yeah. And but I mean, even before the movie announcement,
right.
He's Venom.
Right.
Yeah.
Power Pack is going to be a big sell. Do I think they will be a hit? Yes, but that's a huge
has to earn its place essentially.
Completely. Completely has to earn its place. Yeah. Sorry, I just get emotional.
It's all right. Kevin? It's all right, brother. Kevin? All right, next one I have is, I'm a big X-Men type fan, just like Jared across from me.
Are you?
I'm going with the spinoff, New Mutants First Appearance, Marvel Graphic Novel, number 4. I don't know what's with number 4 right now.
Yeah, and this one is all over the place.
It's all over the place. In my, let me ask you, in your opinion, you have one of these, right? The first print?
No. Do you?
No.
Reasonably speaking, I'm seeing prices here from, oh, it's the third print, so I'm ignoring that one. Anywhere from 150 to 225. So, raw copy form, what do you think is a legit?
First off, purchase
price.
I was telling you this, that Marvel graphic novel number 4, there's a couple.
Dangerous.
It's a dangerous book because one, it's one of those graphic novel big magazine almost like formats. So you're gonna have to, if they don't give it to you in a cool bag or it's not CGC or slabbed, you're gonna have to find something for it, or else it's just gonna get fucked up, to be honest. Two, there's at least I think 6 printings of that book, so most people, at least on eBay, will put what printing it is, but I've definitely had to ask before.
Yeah, because some people what are printing is it? Some people are
they're shady, or they shady. Just don't know
very shady yep. or they don't know, or I've seen it in shops and I said, what printing is that? Because they have it like on a wall or just kind of in a corner, and they're like, oh, let me check. Like, well, I just checked the other day and one, it was 5th printing. I was like, yeah, no thanks. But I would say not CGC'd in the mid range, where, you know, I always try and go from like 7.0 up, if, and, you know, unless you just want it, but I think you can get it for about 70 to 100. In without, you know, it being CGC'd or whatever.
That's a fair price.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair price. It's the first appearance of the New Mutants.
Cannonball,
Sunspot, Wolfsbane, Mirage, and I think that's it. But it's, and, you know, and they've just announced the movies coming out.
Next year.
You know, the X-Men movies are iffy because sometimes those books go up, but, like, some don't.
Yeah, like, First Gambit, that just did not go anywhere, really.
No. Will it, if they eventually make this solo movie? Probably, but still.
Yeah. Or if they make Gambit cool again.
Yeah.
Make Gambit great again, people. you gotta be careful also. And I'm starting to get this way more and more. Oh, sorry to interrupt, everyone. Just wanted to mention real quick about a shop in Canoga Park, California called Spiro's Heroes. Elliot, the proprietor of the store, has over 300,000 books in what's called the Temple of Comics. That's Spiro Heroes in Canoga Park, spirosheroes.com. Buy what you like, not what you think is going to be worth.
Buy what you love.
Because you will go down a rabbit hole if you just start going like, everybody, because I'm totally guilty of it. Sometimes I look at a book just curious, like, oh, whatever happened to that 90s book that was like kind of like hip at the time. And you start seeing these people selling it for stupid prices. And I'm getting all hot under the collar, like, well, then I should pick it up. And then I'm like, wait, I don't even fucking like that character. Like, I don't even care about that guy.
Right, it's like Squirrel Girl for me.
Right.
I talked about her in a podcast before. Not a favorite of mine. I don't like Squirrel Girl at all, really. No offense to Squirrel Girl fans everywhere, but I'm just not one. So for me, I was like, oh, man, I should look into that. And I was like, wait, what am I doing? I don't like this character. Why would I, you know, if I just want to flip it, that's just nonsense to me. Do what you love and love what you do. And for me, you know, it's I buy books that I'm going to at least enjoy for a while. And then if I decide to sell them, I will.
You know, it's like me getting those early Sinestro books. You know, they weren't, you know, like they're in BG shape or so. But I didn't care because, you know, they're hard to find. And like, I like the Sinestro character. And it was kind of cool to trace his history.
Yeah.
And see how he was portrayed back in the day in the early 60s.
I just got a Thor 148, which is the first Wrecker. Wrecking Crew is one of my favorite villain teams. I just got their first appearance, like in a great condition. And then I was like, oh shit, I want the Wrecker. And I found this great price. And I was kind of, the description of the book was iffy, so I wasn't sure, but it looked good enough. And I got it, and it's beautiful. And I'm like, they're not going to, I mean, maybe. But they're not going to use the Wrecker, really. I mean, it's such a...
And if they do, he's going to be like they did with Crossbones.
Right. He'll be in like an opening scene of a Thor movie, get hit in the head, and it's over.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
But I love the Wrecker, and he's so cool, and the cover's great. I was, like, so ecstatic to have that book, finally. Mm-hmm. Just, like... And right now, I'm hard.
It's all right, man.
No, he's true. He's telling the truth, guys. It's very awkward here right now.
We got next, Donald.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let me go to a book here.
Sorry.
Speaking of a load of a book there.
I picked this sweet, sweet issue up for $4 that was including shipping. This is Long Shot number 3 in a 6-issue limited series. This Long Shot number 3 is the first appearance of Mojo.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like the big fat yellow guy?
Yes, who's it's Mojo.
The TV host and the Space Galactics TV host.
Correct, yes.
Jim Morrison wrote that song, Mojo Rising.
And I thought that, no. And I thought that, you know, as quirky as the Legion series was on FX, that Mojo might be the next way they go. And I know we talked about that
right.
Last time.
Yeah.
A little bit about him possibly being a villain and something like that.
Yeah.
So I picked this up, and like I said, it's very cheap. It's Long Shot number 3. You can't get much cheaper than $4, including shipping, on eBay, really. No,
the
guys.
Long Shot series is so attainable. Long Shot number 1 we were talking about, too, is Long Shot's first appearance. And I totally just think those characters are going to be used for something. Like, it's already a built-in universe. You've got the Mojoverse and the whole end Long Shot and everything. It's clones. It's like... there's like a revolution in. I mean, it's like a whole crazy story.
And Longshot's not somebody that necessarily needs a costume in order to display his powers.
Nope. Yeah.
So he would fit easily within that Legion universe.
He looks like a slightly young David Bowie looking type dude.
I guess a little bit like David Bowie, yeah.
David Bowie with a mullet.
Yeah, with a mullet.
Mullet Bowie. David Mullet Bowie. It's a cousin of mine, twice removed. Jarrett, what do you have? What's your next one?
I got another one that... This is the epitome of what I was saying, of like books that I just kind of like checked up on, like 90s. Like I said, like last episode, we were talking about Prospect, and we were talking about, I was saying the 90s, everything is so 90s now, and everybody's trying to get 90s books. And I was going back to the characters that kind of first appeared in the 90s, and I went to Darkhawk.
Oh, yes.
Darkhawk was that kid who got that amulet, and he switched places, and with, like, an android, I don't know if he was, like, it was, like, an alien android. Kind of, they made, like, it carried on into, like, that Realm of Kings story later on. Like, he was almost, like, it was almost like a Nova Corps thing. Like, there was other Darkhawks or whatever they were called or something like that.
Darkhawk number 1.
Right.
Little story. I had a comic book shop back home. His name is Grackle Flint Comics. They no longer exist, but it was in my small town. It was in, outside of it. It's in Dover, Ohio. And they had Darkhawk number 1 in a bin for forever. The guy had like a $10 or $15 price tag on it. Even back then? Yeah. Wow. And I was like, I'm never buying this book. Well, what happened is, you know, over time, they started to need the money to float the shop on things. So they started lowering the price of some of their books. They dropped that one in, I think, like a dollar bin or something. And I eventually just picked it up. And I was like, all right, I'll pay this price.
Right.
So I have a pretty sizable run of Darkhawk.
Right.
Thanks to that. But right. It was funny that even back then, they wanted, at that time, when he first came out, he was a hot item there for a minute.
For a minute, yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, it was a cool-looking character. I don't remember really getting too into him.
Right.
I think the original series ran for 50 issues. But here's the thing. This book is the perfect barometer for how crazy eBay can go, too. It's got for Darkhawk number 1 by itself, $12 free shipping. I can't even tell you if that's a decent price, because it's another book that you could still, like Power Pack number 1, find probably in a bin.
Yeah.
And maybe get for $5 to $8, if not cheaper, if you're lucky. And then you have somebody like this selling a run of 1 through 50, the full run, missing a couple annuals and one issue, for $65. Maybe decent, especially when you see that somebody else is selling, yet again, a CGC version, a 9.6, for $60 for just the number 1.
Wow. $60.
And then this is another cautionary tale of eBay. Some people throw in things that are just not true. So yes, this is the first appearance of Darkhawk. Somebody else has this. Darkhawk number 1. 9.6, first appearance of Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. They have that written. They have that written on it a couple times. So maybe they made an appearance in this. Maybe it was that 90s version, not the one that not the movie version.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's saying that this is the first Guardians of
the
Galaxy.
It's probably the first Guardians to appear in that series.
Right.
And they're wording it that way like an asshole.
Yep. And I saw that a couple times. So be wary and definitely... I mean, is it a book that could go up? Yeah, he's a random character. He's one of those guys that, like, he's got a cool costume, but not much has been said or done with the guy. But he was just another fun one to kind of gauge the pricing craziness here. Yeah, here's another for $100, $99.95, $13.50 shipping. That's also another funny one with the shipping prices that some people just kind of throw out.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Like, what? My best is, and I've done this before, there's a book that I wanted, and it was like 99 cents, and then the shipping was $4.50. And I'm like, I'm paying more for shipping because I want that book, and I don't know if I'm going to find it.
Yeah, I've done that. Certainly have.
Kevin, you got any others?
Yes, sir. I'm staying in the X-Men universe. X-Men number 129 has a bunch of first appearances.
One of my favorite books.
Got Kitty Pryde, the White Queen Emma Frost, the Black King Sebastian Shaw, Harry Leland, Donald Pierce, who I believe made an appearance in a certain movie.
Yeah. It's not his first appearance in that one, though. He's appearing. It's the first appearance of the ones you said, though.
Yes. Well, it is, according to this, in Shadow Only.
Right. Yes. Right, right, right.
And also the Hellfire Knights.
Hellfire. And I think it's the first official Hellfire Club.
Too. Yes.
Yeah. No, that book is solid.
A solid book. Yeah. And you know what? The prices aren't too bad. Right now, I'm looking at one. Currently, it's at $21.50 with a couple days left. And I see it doesn't get too crazy. 150 is the highest that I've seen so far where someone's posted it, you know, Best Buy, right. 150. So,
and that's the epitome of a book that I just wanted and loved because I love the Hellfire Club and Sebastian Shaw especially.
And you love Emma Frost.
Well, yeah, we dated for a while in my mind. But that book,
it's a key book because the Dark Phoenix, you know, we're kind of getting close to that story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All the Dark Phoenix stuff is going to go up with all that stuff. But also the thing about that book that's interesting, too, when you're talking about the X-Men movies, that book didn't, I don't think that book really skyrocketed once First Class came out when the Hellfire Club were the villains.
And that was six years ago.
Yeah.
You would have thought it did, but no.
So I don't see that one spiking anytime soon.
No. But it's a good book to have, though.
But it's a good book to have first appearance.
You can't go wrong with some classic Chris Claremont.
No.
Well, some. Classic Chris Claremont.
This is like when he's getting reaching his peak. Come on, man. This is good stuff, man.
All right.
Jarrett, you agree with me.
I'm a huge classic Chris Claremont fan, yes.
Thank you, sir.
Wordy, wordy, wordy.
Oh my
Give
God,
me...
Goddamn
Make
words
mine
in my
DC.
Oh, shit. Shots fired.
That's right. Shots fired.
Okay.
My book here is now a DC property, but originally was not. It was a Charlton Comics property. This is Strange Suspense Stories presents Captain Atom. This is issue number 75. This is the first appearance of Captain Atom. It's a cool-looking book. Ditko provided the cover art, and I believe he did some of the interiors on this. It's a great little story. It is a very still obtainable book for the most part. You can pick it up for anywhere from $30 to $60 in very decent shape. However, if you buy off some people on eBay that have it slabbed and graded at an 8.5, you can get it for $399.99.
Knowing nothing about the book, I say that's a fair price, and I
will
obtain
that. It's a fair price. Or the price listed just below that, which is a 9.0, is priced at $159.80.
See how much it makes sense, people?
Yeah.
As in, it doesn't make sense, people?
Doesn't make sense at all. here's my people, favorite one here. This is a CGC 9.4 for $668.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So,
and it doesn't make sense.
That's quite pricey. I would go, if it was me, I would go with a 9.0. I mean, you know, for $159.80. And I don't think it's got free shipping, so that's good. And it's a buy it now, so keep that in mind, boys and girls.
Can I make an offer?
Or no, there's no make an offer. I'm
Can
sorry.
Can I just make one?
But that's a good book. I mean, Captain Atom is somebody that DC has yet to use.
Uh-huh.
I could see them being like in the movies. Superman's too powerful. We need somebody to oppose him.
He's got big government connections
because
he was
in
the army.
We need an atomic hero. Mm-hmm. You know, they create Captain Atom. Captain Atom goes up against Superman. And then,
so you think Miss Waller would...
Yeah, well, they did, absolutely.
They did a good turn on that in the Justice League Unlimited. Mm. Remember, because he was part of the Justice League. And then he kind of was like, I'm sorry, I'm a soldier first and I have to follow orders. So I got to like fight you guys. And they're like, oh, thanks, dick.
Yeah. Boy, you're an ass. Yeah. Yeah. So that's my book there, Captain Atom. It's... The suspense, Strange Suspense Stories number 75.
Nice.
All right, back to you, Jared.
This will be my last one. This is a complete speculation. I've heard maybe one rumor about this character being used, but this is a complete speculation. This is a character that I just happen to love, and her name is Moonstone.
Mm.
She was part of the Masters of Evil. That's where I first saw her, in that Under Siege story where they take over Avengers Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
She's got this cool yellow outfit with a helmet that makes her look like Ultraman, like the old Ultraman guy. It's Hulk 228. I believe this is one of those ones where it was like, she appeared first as herself, which was like Carla Sofin or something like that. But the first appearance of her as Moonstone, which is the only one people will care about, is Hulk 228. It's badass. She's on the cover. I always like when the character's on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Cracking Hulk in the face. And it says, "Murder is a maid called Moonstone." And now I heard through the grapevine, as in I heard it somewhere, and it's probably not true, but you never know, is that she is a possible villain for the Captain Marvel movie.
Really?
Think about it. She's another female. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to want to, and it's not a sexism thing, I just don't think audiences are going to want to see like some big dude beating up a woman. If, right. Like, or her, you know, they want to see her kicking a guy's ass.
I want to see that.
Whoa, okay. This is domestic abuse. We need to talk about this.
Well, no. Can we do that in the comic book Alcoholic Anonymous?
Yes, we can do that.
All right.
But that'll be anonymous. So I think her powers were obviously like a moonstone or meteorite. She got super strength. She could also control her. She could become intangible. She could project energy. She was kind of just super powerful and fly at like fast speeds. She would be a perfect foe for Captain Marvel. And her powers, I think, are space. But you know, her name's Moonstone.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I know they're toying with the origin of Captain Marvel. They're not exactly gonna. They said they're not going to stick with the original where she got it through like a Kree machine and got powers. You know, from that. Although they could, because they have the Kree.
You have rights to the Kree. We've already seen him in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1.
Yeah. So if I was him, I might use that, because it's, you know, getting powers from this huge, powerful alien race would be smart. But
Right. Whatever.
Either way, Moonstone to me is... either way, it's a cool character, great book, and if they happen to use her, then it's an extra score. And it's a totally attainable book.
All right.
Kevin?
All right, I want to finish things off with another X-Men title.
Jesus, Kevin!
Yeah, it kind of goes hand-in-hand with the previous
one. Oh, my God. X-Men, why don't you just pick one title and just down the line a book you like from it? That could be our next podcast. Just Kevin talks about X-Men comics.
Another X-Men comic I liked was
Yeah.
Well, you know, the reason why I'm doing this is because next year, I believe, the X-Men Dark Phoenix movie is coming out. So
is it?
Yeah, I think that's the next one there. Because they hyped it with...
Next October.
In the Apocalypse one that she's channeled the Phoenix.
Right.
And now there was all this stuff like who's coming back or if they're even going to use anybody again. But now, like, I think a lot of the younger group are coming back.
Right, because they're cheaper right now.
Exactly.
At the moment. Yeah.
Nobody knows who the Cyclops kid is. I don't know who that actor was. He did good.
But you know who Jean Grey is.
I do, yes.
Sansa Game of Thrones. Stark from Game of Thrones, yes.
Yeah.
But basically, X-Men 134 is the first appearance of Jean Grey as the Dark Phoenix. This is where the Hellfire Club manipulates her to a point, using Mastermind to take her over the edge.
What I love, too, is that, and it confused me as a kid, but Mastermind's mutant power is illusion.
Yes.
So, like, to a crazy, like, he can make people think anything.
The X-Men cartoon did a pretty good job.
They did. Oh, yeah, they did the whole Phoenix saga really well.
So, push him to the edge.
But that he made himself appear handsome.
Yes.
Because he's actually like a really creepy looking dude. Like,
really?
Yeah.
So he had this like that mustache, the beard, no, the mustache that goes into the sideburns, like the old fancy British look.
Yeah.
He had that. He made himself like look like very debonair and all that stuff. And then like when she destroys him, when she breaks free of his control and like melts his head, he goes back to that state. And he's just like an ugly looking smarmy dude, which totally fits. Like,
nice.
Great.
I like ugly smarmy dudes.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, I would pay no more than $30 for this book.
Whoa.
No more than 30.
Oh, no more than 30. You're serious.
I'm serious.
Now, wow.
The prices on eBay aren't too bad, but there are a few people trying to pull a fast one on you. You know, $63. Even one fool here has $135.
CGC'd or not?
Yeah, CGC'd, but still. I mean, the grade's not even that high. So
4.0, $2,000.
Yeah, what? It's ridiculous.
Speaking of just funny CGC ones, we might have talked about this before, but I know we've talked amongst ourselves, but how people have like an amazing Fantasy 15, the first Spider-Man, but they have like page 4 CGC'd.
Oh, yeah.
They just have a page from
it. But you know what's funny? They sell. You can have Action Comics, you know, page number two or something like that. You have to mortgage your house and then someday in order to purchase
it. But that's just insane because that's literally just like, I want to own a piece of history.
Well,
but
that's what it is. It's kind of like if you find like a page of a scroll or something like that. That's what it's like. You know, you're selling that piece of the scroll.
Piece of Nazi gold.
It's up there to me with the...
Wait, what?
What? We've all have a little Nazi gold, right? I mean, did your parents give that to you? Heinrich? No.
It was like an Easter gift.
Jeez.
No, to me, though, that's like those people. Like, I went to a collector shop years ago in New York, and they had, like, a check signed by Marilyn Monroe. And like, yeah, that's Marilyn Monroe, cool, but it's like, I don't give a shit about a check. Like, it just seems like a stupid thing to show off.
Oh,
like,
I can up you one. Somebody was selling, somehow they obtained a vial of Ronald Reagan's blood after he got shot, and they actually put it on an auction site, and it was getting up there. It was getting into the tens of thousands of dollars until I think the family caught on to it and they made them stop.
Now, how do you authenticate that? Did they have...
I guess the nurse that was in the hospital at the time, literally, this is pretty disturbing. She literally kept some of his blood and kept it in the freezer for like 30-something years. I'm like, wow.
Now, that's warped.
Let's say you buy this, right? You buy it for like $50,000. You put it in your living room or whatever as a display piece. How are you going to explain that to your dinner guest?
Easily, because your dinner guests are probably just as weird as you are.
I would have to assume so.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, look what I got. Oh, yeah, I love it. Oh, my God, my pants are off.
Yeah, let's all just get our pants off now. Yeah. We just sit around it and look at it.
Can we get some of that in our hands and then just... Yeah, I'm not going to go any further.
Unless you plan on, like, cloning the man or something like that. Like, why would you want that?
And that's when we cloned Ronald Reagan.
Yep. Yeah. That's a good idea. Wait, what? No. Bad idea. Bad idea.
Donald, you got one last one?
I've got a twofer.
You got a twofer?
Twofer.
Hit it up.
I've got Amazing Spider-Man number 124. This one is the first appearance of Man-Wolf.
Such a cool cover. Man-Wolf.
Man-Wolf's a cool character, and this is a great cover. It's got Man-Wolf bursting through a window with some curtains and Spider-Man saying, Jameson, what is that? That thing, what is it? And Jameson's on the ground, like, being hit with shattered glass, and he's got his hands in the air almost crying. He's like, it's my son!
Which it was. It was J. Jonah Jameson's son, John Jameson.
Jingleheimer Smith.
John Jingleheimer.
Was that the pilot? Was that the pilot?
Yeah, or astronaut. Pilot, astronaut.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if he still is or not, but I think he is still.
Maybe. It was such a weird turn for that character. Yeah.
A weird turn, but a great idea, a great concept, and something that they could, like, crazily put into a movie.
Uh-huh.
Like, have him be somebody, you know, again, a government manipulational thing, or, you know.
And it was something like space-oriented, too. He was like, he became like a werewolf, like, on the moon or something.
Yeah, it's
like
funny you mentioned that, because don't you remember when I was theorizing years ago when they showed him as Spider-Man 2? Remember that?
Yes.
And I thought to myself, when they were announcing Venom for Spider-Man 3, I thought, oh, he's going to go on a space mission, bring back something from the moon, and the symbiote will be in some capsule or something, and they're going to study in a lab at Oscorp. I was actually set up the story myself of what I thought they were going to do, and then, boy, they went in some weird direction, didn't they?
They did.
Homecoming looks cool, but for a sequel, they should totally dig into the weird 70s. Like,
absolutely. Yeah.
Morbius. Or...
Morbius, oh, absolutely. Yeah. That'd be definitely cool.
Yeah, because we need to start getting into the Marvel Dark universe, mm-hmm. you know? And bring back Blade, for God's sake.
Sure. Yeah, that's already got a built-in audience.
Yeah, he's been retired
Blade,
for too long.
Morbius.
Yeah.
Moon Knight.
Be great.
Yeah.
My other one real quick is Uncanny X-Men. Yes, Kevin, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Uncanny X-Men number 121. This is the first appearance of
Alpha
Flight. You got it.
The premier Canadian team.
Right. This is going to be a great one, guys. This one's going to be huge.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, Alpha Flight's working hand-in-hand with Captain Marvel in space.
Mm-hmm.
It's something they could easily do. They could just mention the characters in the movie. They could have an aside to them, anything like that. And once they do, they could spin off on their own movie. This team's primed and ready.
There's another option. Yeah. There's another option, too. They could premiere on their Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and spin them off in their own TV show.
No.
Anything Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. scares me because it's I think they just waste characters. I'm like, oh, they used it. Because I'll be like, oh, they should use this character. And then I'm like, oh, I heard they used them in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Shit.
Yeah. Although I will say this last season ended on a very high note for me. I thought, personally, I thought it was very, the second half of the season was very well done.
Whoa.
So you have to go through the first to get to the second.
Right.
And it's okay. The first is okay, but it gets really pretty good, actually, for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. anyway. Right. So I recommend it.
Well, regardless of Alpha Flight, I would definitely say it's about time.
Hey.
All right, so crack your Molsons and Labatts. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Please like us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Follow us, love us, comment. We have a nice Facebook page for SmackDown Sundays.
Yeah, subscribe.
Subscribe, please, to iTunes. We have our podcast that you're listening to now. We also have it on YouTube, so listen there. Listen twice. Listen three times.
Yeah, listen to it on YouTube.
Share it with your family.
And then put it on iTunes. Yeah, and then go to Facebook, subscribe to it, and share it with your friends.
Right. Do all that.
And most importantly, we'll see you at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.